There's my brother Jimmy.
How you doing,
Johnny? Good, good. Morning, guys.
Morning.
All right, we're going to get started. It's time, right? Okay, let's pray. Father, again, you show us goodness, you show us mercy, you wake us up, you give us life and breath, Lord. But even, Lord, if you took us in your sleep, you are still good, Lord. We, Lord, pray that one day we would be with you in eternity, but Lord, as we live daily, Lord, we pray that you would give us the strength to live for you. It's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, Romans 8:28. You guys all know the verse, but there's a reason why I'm reading it this morning. Romans 8:28 reads, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." So as I was wrestling with how to prepare for this, what to say about this, I was reminded of what I spoke of a few weeks back. And what I spoke of was true faith. And true faith, and how it is linked, true faith, how it is linked to the love of God. And I said this, I kind of, if you guys can remember, I mean, sometimes I don't remember what I said, but meaning, an intimate knowledge of who God is and how he relates to those whom he saves. And those whom he saves are his children. My point in reading Romans 8:28 was this, is to make us think that because we are God's children, because we are God's children, all things work together for good. Why? Why is the question? Because God is overseer of all things. Nothing happens in this world without his approval. And when we deem life's daily occurrences as bad or evil, and we do, if we're honest with one another, we put specific names on certain things that happen during the day, whether they're good or evil. We need to ask, why do I think it's good or evil? And what good is God working in this situation? So we're faced with situations. The question we should be asking ourselves is, why is God putting this in my path? Is it for my good? Those are the things we need to understand, because we're talking about the providence of God here today. Last week, Stephen walked us through Lord's Day 9. As adopted children through Christ, God is our Father, and as a faithful Father, he will provide for us all that we need. Pay attention to that word need. This week, we'll be expanding what it means in the providence of God, in the context, as I mentioned, of a loving Father, and how we are to live in understanding of this care of God. As we learn and grow in these teachings, keep in mind that we are in the deliverance / grace portion of the Heidelberg Catechism. And as I prepared for this, I thought, you know, I like to understand what words really mean before I talk about them. So as I looked up providence, and the etymology of providence is, it's this, it's two words, derived of two words. If it was Hebrew, I got my man in the back, Aaron, ready to jump on me, but it's Latin, so it's pro vide, or which comes from videre. If I'm pronouncing that correctly, I'm not sure, but to see ahead, to see ahead. In the context of the modern vernacular, we would say like this. Like if I say to Jim Campy, Jim, see to this, the disc is done. What am I saying? Jim's empowered. He's going to make it happen. So in the context of God, we're seeing God is going to see ahead. He's going to see to that it's done. It's made sure. It's going to happen. And God in his providence will make sure that things will surely come to pass. This we know. I mean, there's scripture, and as his children, we behold scripture as his very own words. These things we see as truth. These things we hold to because God said so. It's as simple as that. And this teaching is so succinct. I should just read it, and we should be able to embrace it and go, amen, and I'm done. But I got a half hour to fill, so we're gonna have a little discussion. Hopefully that's the case here. And we're going to go into the context now. Question and answer 27. You guys have your little booklets. Question and answer 27. What do you understand by the providence of God? Here is a succinct answer. The almighty and ever-present power of God, by which God upholds as with his hand heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean, years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things in fact, come to us not by chance, we don't believe in chance, but by his fatherly hand. And as I was thinking through that, we would all welcome like the first part of the contrast. We would love the rain, we would love the prosperity, but do we want to deal with the drought? Do we want to deal with poverty? I mean, is God sovereign if I don't have money in my pocket? He's still sovereign. Why don't I have money? It's his providence. It's God saying to it, what I really need. What I need is the question here. So we're, you know, concerning the ever-present power of God, Jeremiah 23:23-24 reads this. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? He sees all and must allow or cause all things. God is not a God who just saves the world or comes into the world, creates the world, and steps out of it. He ordains and orchestrates everything. Acts 17:22-28. It's a long length of scripture, so if you guys want to turn there. Acts 17, this is going to be primarily the theme of this teaching. We're going to probably read it two or three times so we get the point. Acts 17, beginning in verse 22-28. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. Pay attention to this. Since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet, he's actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Talk about the providence of God. Consider this situation. Here we see that Paul is providentially led to the place where all these so-called bright and brilliant minds congregate to share and debate philosophies and the teachings of the day. And here's what Paul reveals to them. The unknown God, in their eagerness to cover all bases by proclaiming their one true, self-sufficient, providential, sovereign God, Paul comes to these people and exclaims and proclaims the goodness of the one true God. And he tells them that everything is happening for a reason, for his excellent work, for his providential rule of all things. Hebrews 1:3, in the terms of God upholding all things. Hebrews 1:3 reads, He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. God rules in all situations. Acts 14:15-17. Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men, excuse me, of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God. And what's his proclamation? Who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without a witness, for he did good by giving them, or giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. And we know that all things come to us by his providence. As I said, not by chance. Things don't come to us by chance. God orchestrates everything. Proverbs 16:33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Even the roll of the dice is in God's hands. Nothing happens by chance. It all happens by the providential will of God. His sovereignty on display is here. Everything comes from his fatherly hand. Here we see how intimately he knows us and cares for us. Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. This is an intimate God that we serve. He doesn't just create us, walk away, and say, have at it. He orchestrates everything. As I said earlier, some things we look at and go, that can't be good. Well, we don't know how good our God is. And as Chuck mentioned last week, we don't have the mind of God. We don't have the mind of God. God works all things together for good for those who love him and call according to his purpose. Again, Acts 17:25. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Are we seeing the providence of God in all of this? Do we understand that before we move on to the next question? We're seeing this. It's in your face. We can't deny it. As Christians, we read God's word and we hold to God's word as life and truth itself. Here's a question and answer. How does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? Here's the good news for us. We can be patient when things go against us, thankful when things go well, and for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing in creation will separate us from his love. For all creatures are so completely in God's hand that without his will, they can neither move nor be moved. That should offer us peace in all situations. I know in the flesh we fight and kick against this, trying to understand how this good is happening in our lives, but it's for our good. And I'm sure we have personal stories here that maybe we'll have time to talk about in a few minutes. So we're finding patience and trust when things don't go our way. Job 1:21-22. If you've ever seen a picture of God's sovereign providential hand on someone, consider Job. Job 1:21-22 reads this. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. We would only have that mindset. Of course, we know that you'll stump them, but this is the mindset we need to have, that God is sovereign, his providential will is working in our lives. Even when we think things seem bad, and we've all had those situations. So we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful when things go well as well. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And we're supposed to have good confidence in God that nothing can separate us from his love. This is the primary focus on all this, that nothing can separate us from his love. When we think God is against us, we need to fight that. We need to call one another. We said, what's God teaching me in this? We need to sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron and rely on one another, directing one another to Christ Jesus. Romans 8:38-39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the good news. That's what we hold on to. This is the hope that we have. Summer's coming. Summer's coming. When all creatures are in God's hand, and without his will, they cannot be moved. Nothing can be moved apart from God's sovereign, providential will. He allows it or causes it to happen. Job 1:12, and the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand, only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Job 2:6, and the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand, only spare his life." Sovereign will of God on display, commanding Satan what he can and cannot do. What an amazing display of God's power and his command over all things. In the story of Job, we see God allowing Satan to have his way with Job, but not kill him. Who here, apart from an understanding of God's sovereignty and providence, would, in our feeble understanding, think this is good? If you didn't know God, you would go, it seems bad that God would allow this in Job. What was your point last week, Chuck? We don't have the mind of God. We don't see everything, right?
But what happened to Job?
Yeah, well, we know what happened to Job. He came back. He got bullied around a little bit. But ultimately, his trust was in a sovereign God, as we should trust in a sovereign God. Nothing happens apart from his will, and he providentially supplies all our needs. Is that word needs again? He's not a God in the heavens just giving things that we desire, knowing that they're going to cause us harm. Everything works to good. Everything works to good. You know, the point is, God is in control of all things. He is providential. He sees to it that things will happen. Proverbs 21:1 reads this: "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will." He turns it wherever he will. Again, as I said earlier, Acts 17, the Apostle Paul is being used by God to proclaim the excellencies of God. God providentially intercedes to direct Paul to the place where disputes of philosophies were discussed and debated. God actually intercedes while Paul is in Athens. Being provoked in his spirit, he reasoned in the synagogue, and some that heard the gospel took Paul to the Areopagus to reason. So they're taking him so Paul can proclaim the excellencies of God. Talk about the providence of God. Here people are trying to shield Paul from harm, and they're diverting him. So where do they take him? To the Areopagus, where the hotbed of debate and philosophies is. And he lays out the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm sure we could probably say, in some respect, that God has put us in places where we can sit and share the gospel. Looking at Canaan, I know Canaan has 5 minutes with someone. He's going to share the gospel with him. And it's usually someone that's been placed in his way. That's in all of our cases. In all of our cases. So we see Acts, I'm going to read it again, Acts 17:24 and 28. "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said." And we're dealing with this as his children, as Stephen mentioned last week. We're his adopted children. What father would give bad things to his own child? And the child might think it's a bad thing at the time he's being disciplined, but ultimately it's for his good. And the father, usually, you know, we're sinful men, usually we try to give good things to our children. We're his children, and our Heavenly Father knows what we need. Scripture is clear that he's faithful to give us all that we need. Ultimately, all we need is him and to be reconciled to him. And we see his providence in the most seemingly simple and famous scripture of all. What is it? Seemingly simple, famous scripture. Everybody knows it.
John
3:16. Thank you, Robin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So simple, yet so complex, and God's sovereign plan on display. And as I read that, I link it to Isaiah 53:10. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. This is the providential plan of God put into place through Jesus Christ. Think about that. 700 years before Christ came, it was the will of the Lord to crush him. Providentially, God takes care of all things. I was going to read about Abraham and Isaac, but did we get the point on all this? Are we clear on this? We all know the story of Abraham and Isaac. God provided the lamb for Abraham so he wouldn't have to put his own son to death. I was talking to a friend last night. I'd gone to a 60th birthday party, and he was talking to me about when Abraham said to the guys that had gone with him, he said, "Yeah, John." "We'll be back." It wasn't singular. So I don't want to read too much into that. I don't want to, I want to take it at face value that Abraham told the guys, "I'll be back," and somehow, maybe he's thinking in the back of his mind, "The Lord will provide a way that I won't have to do this to my son. But if he doesn't, I'm going to do it." It was the will of the Lord to crush him. Jesus sought that in the garden. "Not my will, but your will be done." And he knew the providential will of God, and he's sitting there praying, droplets of blood. "Not my will, but thy will be done." That's the providence of God. That is God seeing to it that his plan will not be distracted, it will not be nullified. I was preparing for this. I love listening to a little excerpt from Bodie Bacham. He laid this out. He said, he says, everybody talks about, I'm going to do it, my Bodie Bacham voice. He talks about the providence of God. He says, everybody talks about the providence of God as the good things that God gives him. "Oh, I met this woman, I'm looking at my daughter, and I was just talking about her last night. Providence of God. She meets Jacob in church, and they fall in love, and here they are sitting, worshiping God together in front of her father. What a blessing it is." Bodie Bacham made this point. I don't know if you guys remember, he almost died recently, right? He says, everybody said, "Yo, that's the providence of God, that you're not dead, Bodie. You're not dead. God preserved you." Bodie Bacham said, "If I had died, is that still not the providence of God? If he had died, is that still not the providence of God?" And the answer is, it is the providence of God. God works all things together for good to those who love God according to his purpose. So, how much time do I have?
9:26.
Okay, so here's my question. It's asking a question for him, and I hope that we can share some certain things so we can encourage one another in this. We have a few minutes. How does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help you? It says help us in the catechism. So how do we have a couple minutes to share. How does the providence of God help you? Go. James.
Yeah, John, I was just thinking as you talk about providence and the sovereignty of God, that in thousands of ways every day we assume we have sovereignty and providence over our lives, over our family, children, job, etc. And when bad things happen, I think that's when we come to the conclusion that, man, I don't know crap. It's all falling apart on me. So I think the recognition of my frailty, even in my working in personal sovereignty, or my frailty in trying to, in some way, have providential control over my family's future, and as that falls apart so completely, to see that God, who is the ultimate sovereign, that gives me peace of mind to carry on, to know that I have no control about it, but he has already written the end from the beginning.
Amen.
And that comforts me.
Amen. And that's, ultimately, that's where we find our final resting places with Jesus. So you know, that's our goal. That's our goal to understand that He is in control. I mean, how many can look back on circumstances where God allowed things that we deemed bad, we stressed out over, world-class warrior here, stressed out over, and in hindsight, had we not gone through these things, we would not have known the grace and the beauty of Jesus Christ intervening and sustaining us. This is the providence of God.
When you look, write a book on those things.
That's the providence of God just on display.
John, unbelief is heavy. Unbelief in providence really is the root of worry. I mean, it just really is. And then for this, specifically, like as you're reading this, I'm thinking the comfort in this is that we're not talking about fate.
Right.
Providence and fate are two different things in my mind, in that fate is impersonal. That's just something that happens. But providence, we're looking at a loving, caring Father who loves us so much that He provides all for us, but then He provides our greatest need in Jesus the Son.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit applies that work to us and reminds us and points us to the work of the Son in all of the things, including the evil that happens to us.
Yep.
Because there are bad things that happen to us. I mean, we live in a cursed world. God doesn't do the evil, right? He's not a perpetrator of sin.
Nope.
But there's evil in the world, so my comfort in life and in death is that I'm not my own.
I know it's coming.
So, thank you. But because I belong to Him, He cares for me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head apart from
yes.
His will.
Yes.
And if He's a loving Father, then it's always good, ultimately, for us. So that's where I just, this personal God for providence, like personal providence, it's not fate and impersonal.
Yes. Yep, it's not fate. Mm-hmm. Cain.
I was thinking like bare minimum, for me, it helps me to know that God is giving me something, right? And I'm receiving something, right? And I don't have to understand it, right? So like no matter how bad it is, right? I know that He's serving me, right? All things work together for my good,
right?
And, it also helps to know that we have a God who can sympathize with our weaknesses. So He's not like, oh, I'm doing this for you or to you, right? And I'm detached from it,
right?
No, He's experienced my weaknesses.
Amen.
Right? He's been there. So
yeah, He can empathize.
I have a God that I can relate with. Like, Lord, You've been here.
Right.
You've been where I stood. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. It's comforting that to know that He's in charge and he can empathize with everything that we're going through or have gone through. I mean, He was faithful to the point of death, even death on the cross, so. Sir.
Chad.
Hi, Chad.
Yeah, I just, it's good that I'm homeless. My mother's passed away. My father's deceased. I've been having some trouble finding a place to stay or keeping a roof over my head. I got, I know they legalized marijuana. But God is good. I don't have any. I know people, it's Sunday. People, I know there's big things that go on in this world. I don't dislike anybody, but I know to stay safe and stay at home. So really, that's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to.
I'm
trying to do something positive. I was at Incarnation earlier today. They had breakfast, the Knights of Columbus breakfast, and it was good.
All right. I'm glad.
I'm
glad that God has provided food for you this morning. That means when we're talking about providence of God, we're talking about how He takes care of all our needs. I'm not saying our wants and desires, all of our needs. That's good though. He provided for you, right? Amen.
Yeah.
Amen, brother. All right. Let's pray. Father, You are good, Lord. We thank You for Your sovereign provision for all things for us. Especially for Your Son, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And this is our hope. This is where we rest. This is where we see the providence of God on display. Lord, I just pray that we would as Jerry said, that we wouldn't worry about things so much, but look to you and find our rest and our hope and our peace and our comfort in the one true God. And in his Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.